home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob Watson.
I'm Garrett most of the time. But anyway.
Most of the time. Yeah. What happened to
everybody?
Garrett,
welcome back to Rated LGBT Radio. We've got a hot topic for you tonight. We'll get to that in just a minute. Before we do that, I always want to give you a replay of where we've been for the week on the other shows and where we're going for the rest of the week. And Rob wants to tell you about his show on Saturday as well. On Monday's Rated G Radio, we had author Joe Derone. He is a paranormal fantasy horror author, and he came on to talk about one of his latest books. Interesting stories that remind me, Rob, of watching old Twilight Zone episodes. You know how you would have something happen at the end and you'd be like, no, I can't believe it. Well, that's author Joe Derone. That was on Monday. Tuesday, we had Sharman McGraw back for her part two interview. As exciting as talking about pituitary tumors are, she makes a fun hour of radio, I will tell you. She's an engaged storyteller and loved having Sharman back on for her part two. Yesterday, we had psychic Zoe Niklaus on. So if you called in and asked a question, it's always a good idea to go back and listen to what she said, because you never pay attention while you're talking to her live. And tomorrow on the Friday dance party, starting early at 2 p.m., we've got country star Cody Webb in hour number one, and then Americana band Cadence out of Arizona in hour number two, starting at 3 o'clock. And that's starting, again, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time on the Friday night dance party. Rob, what's going on Saturday?
On Saturday, on out in Santa Cruz, we actually were going to have a continuation of the conversation we're having tonight with Dr. Danoff. However, he graciously postponed that episode until August 6th. And instead, we are focusing on the tragedy and the horrible events of Orlando. We are going to go through the different aspects of that. We are going to play Anderson Cooper, who reads each of the individuals who passed away in that, in a very moving piece that he did. And we've got some doctors calling in to help people who are trying to cope. We're going to talk over some of the issues there. So very thorough look at that event.
Awesome. Well, I will be tuning in for sure. And, you know, we talked about this last week. June is a month of Pride across the country. And well, you know, it really kicks off Pride Month or Pride season, because it starts, you know, and it keeps going and going and going. It's like the Energizer Bunny, which is really cool. And so it's, I think it's really kind of appropriate that we have our guest on tonight. Would you like to do the introduction for our guest, and then I'll bring the good doctor on?
Yes. Well, our guest tonight is Dr. Dudley Danoff, and Dr. Danoff is an expert in men's sexual health. He has written a couple of books: The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age, as well as a few others, I believe. I'm actually going to read a quote from one of his books that, and then we will bring him on. I just thought this was an intriguing quote. In my professional lifetime, I have seen more than 200,000 patient penises.
Oh, my.
To, I guess, the inpatient.
The poor doctor.
Yeah. but anyway, back to the quote. While each is unique, all have also remarkably are remarkably alike anatomically. More important, there is enormous variation in how each functions in its sexual capacity. The difference in functional ability and capacity have little to do with the anatomy of the particular penis, or even with the man's physical size, looks, or level of success. Mainly, they have to do with how men perceive their own penises. Every man must not only learn the penis's biological functions, but understand that it is much more than the condition of its blood vessels and nerves. It is an organ of expression. So there we go. We are going to talk penises tonight. So welcome to the show, Dr. Dudley. Dr. Dudley.
Pleasure, Garrett. Pleasure, Garrett and Rob.
Wow. Okay, so 200,000.
So I hope you fellas both have smiling penises.
Well, we're going to – I don't know about Rob's, but I guess we're going to find out tonight. So what is a smiling penis?
There we go. The first blush of the evening.
It's about attitude. Look, I'm a mainstream urologic surgeon here at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, Princeton, Train, Yale Medical School. So most of what I do is urologic oncology, and I wrote a book about this mysterious organ that we all love so much, and I try to personalize it and try to get the idea of it's all about the power of positive thinking as applied to your penis.
Right. And one of the things you write about that you are the advocate to do something about is penis weakness. Can you tell us a little bit about what penis weakness is?
Well, it all has to do with what's going on between your ears. It's self-doubt. self-doubt is like a, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. You got to believe in it. You got to believe it'll always work. Sometimes it'll fool you and it won't. You don't take it too seriously. A lot of men see the images on television, porn films. They see the ideal bodies, the backward motion, the slow motion, the theatrical lighting, and they think, wow, I'm not like that. And they begin to doubt their own ability. It's a real problem.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to use a little bit of an analogy here. But because I think some of the conditions are like analogous to the situation when you're lying there trying to go to sleep, and the more your head goes, I've got to go to sleep, I've got to get up early, I can't stay awake, the harder it is to actually do it. So taking in the sexual situation, doesn't that sort of start happening around what's happening in the head around the penis?
Yeah, you know, in most healthy men, it's 99% between the ears and 1% between the legs. I mean, there's a direct electrical pipeline that goes from your brain to your penis. And if there's any self-doubt, it's like death. It's like anger, screaming anger. It doesn't work.
My question is, what is the technique when you have the self-doubt? I mean, it's nice to know, okay, this is because of self-doubt. But when you're in it, how do you unself-doubt?
Well, I think the way to do it is that every man must accept that it's not his penis isn't going to behave exactly the way he would like it to at every moment of the day or night. So, I mean, if you're able to get a nighttime erection or a morning erection, then you have to say to yourself, I know that all of the physiologic functions, blood vessel, endocrine function, nerve function are all intact, and the rest is between my ears, and get over it and, you know, accept that sometimes it fails and have the ability to laugh at it. You know, real men do fail. I mean, in all sorts of relationship, whether it be a bisexual relationship, a monogamous relationship, a homosexual relationship, heterosexual relationship, it all works the same right across the board.
Right. Now, in your book, you state that all men are penis oriented. Can you, and I'm not saying that's not true, but can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think I've coined the phrase penocentric, you know, I remember
that in a business meeting. You're being penocentric here.
Yeah, well, you know, men are very dominated by that piece of beef that's hanging between their legs. I remember when I was an undergraduate at Princeton, and there was a large philosophy course, a survey course, and there must have been about 300, you know, guys in the audience, all, you know, 18, 19, steaming hormones. And I remember the professor getting up and saying, you know, if I could get half the guys in this audience to get their mind off that piece of beef hanging between their legs and get their mind on some real things, he said, I'd have a couple of Nobel laureates in the crowd here. as we mature and our testosterone goes down a bit as a consequence of aging, you know, that penocentricity probably ameliorates a little bit, goes down. But if you're young and you're studly, you're very penocentric.
Now, Oh, sorry, Gary, did you have a...
I'm saying, why do you think it goes down as far as the testosterone goes? Because is it because, okay, we finally got out of college, we got married, or we're in a relationship, we got our 80-hour-a-week job, we still got to go to the gym, we've got to do this. So you have, like, no time to think about being penocentric.
Right, well, all of that. I mean, you know, all of that distracts from you know, the core. Sure, you got a job, you have a lot of pressures, you come home... You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about paying the rent. You're worried about making the car payment. You worry about your partner, you know, things that are going on in their lives, the stress. And all of those things take away from the penocentricity.
How do we get back to it?
I like the phrase compartmentalize.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're hassled at the office or you're a victim of road rage on the way home up the 405, when you get home, you got to put that in a little box and leave it outside the bedroom door. And I think it's a skill. I think that you can train yourself to do that. Just, you know, get over it. Get it out of your mind. Get focused on the moment. Get focused, you know, with the passion. Get focused with your partner.
Now, that is one thing I wanted to ask you also, though. And I've talked to a bunch of men that have a struggle with, you know, when they get into a relationship with a partner and, you know, they've been together for a while, that there is an excitement and a charge that happens from the stranger or the,
absolutely,
you know, the unknown, the, you know, all of that is more exciting. And obviously excitement going into the penis is part of what makes it work. How do you get that charge of excitement with someone you've become very familiar with?
Yeah, well, it's the nature, you know, of the beast. And I think a famous poet once said, familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity also makes things, you've got to work a little harder to make it interesting. But it's a physiologic fact. It's an anatomic fact. And it's a fabulous, wonderful experiment. And I think I talk about it in a book where they take... two mice, a male and a female, in heat, and they put them in a cage together. And the male mouse will mount the female mouse repeatedly with increasing what we call recovery time or interval periods until the poor male mouse is lying there exhausted. Then you take that lady mouse out of the cage, you paint her a different mouse color, and you spray her with a little different mouse perfume, and you put her back in the cage, and the male mouse will mount her almost in the same vigor that he did before. And that, you know, that's a very well-known experiment. And it is the nature of the beast.
We need to bottle that.
Yeah.
So if you are, I mean, one of the piece of advice, I talk about this in a book and I talk about it to my patients, piece of advice that I can give is if you are in a long relationship, a long-standing relationship, you have to work extra hard to make it interesting. Candlelight dinner, flowers, you know, moonlight, Hawaii. I mean, you've got to think of something every day to make it a little more exciting so it's fresh and new. You have to work at it.
Very cool. You also say in the book, we are tragically ill-informed about the penis. What are if you could throw out three things that most people are ill-informed about the penis about?
Well, I think, you know, that the Lord gave you a certain amount of orgasms, and, you know, if you use it too much, you're going to lose it. that's one thing. Secondly, that you really can hurt the penis. So any kind of safe sex, when you think about it, the penis is the single most durable organ. You can bang it, slam it, twist it, and you won't hurt it. If you did that to your little finger, you would end up at orthopedics with a cast, the skin being the most sensitive part of the penis. And the other thing is your penis is as big and as fat and as long as you think it is because it is genetically determined, and there's no possible legitimate medical way to make it larger. So you just got to look down and you got to say, this is mine. I'm going to do the best with it. You're my buddy. Stick with me, man. And we're going to have a good time together.
So yeah, none of those big creams or lotions or magic, you know, seance things are going to happen that we see in the back of, oh gosh, darn it. Okay.
Oh, God,
I need to call and get a refund.
And, you know, there was a time when phalloplasty, which is plastic surgery, trying to put grafting material in, silastic, all sorts of things to make the penis larger, And those are the most unhappy patients I have ever seen, and the result is grotesque. So any of the guys that are listening, if anybody is even thinking about it, you know, as we say in Brooklyn, get over it. No phalloplasty.
See, in the gay community, Cher said that, so it's a Cher quote.
You can go to Rite Aid and you buy a magnifying glass and you hold it over your penis, and then you have the IPE, the instant penis enlarger. So that's a good one.
I love it. I'm going to need extra large magnifying glass. But Rob, we actually have somebody calling in with a question out of the audience here tonight. So
out of the audience, great. Okay, we love that.
So we're going to open up the phone lines, and this is Daphne. Daphne, you have a question for Doctor.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, fine, Daphne. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good.
What happens to men that drink heavily, like an alcoholic, and do they lose their sex drive, or what's going on there? They can't get it up?
That's a great question, Daphne.
Yeah, I think all of the above. I think Shakespeare said something like, alcohol addeth to the desire, but taketh from the performance. So a little bit is fine. It takes the edge off, lets the inhibitions go a little bit more free. You're not worried about so many things. But alcohol in excess is a penis killer. And if your friend or your male acquaintance is an alcoholic and he has liver disease, he will increase his estrogen, which is the circulating female hormone. He will diminish his testosterone, and it will have a profound effect on his ability to get an erection. It also damages the nerves, so it's like a triple killer.
Okay. Not Daphne, good. Thanks for the question. Follow up here. If somebody, you know, has had a problem in the past and experienced, let's say, erectile dysfunction, how soon after they stop drinking, or is it just like overnight they're going to start getting that back, or is it a period of time? What would somebody expect if they're going through, let's say, a recovery process? You know, 24 hours later, bang, let's go do it?
Well, I think it's a matter of the degree to which they were drinking. So, you know, if they have irreparable liver damage and cirrhosis, you know, their recovery may fail completely or take a very long time. If a guy's just a heavy drinker and, you know, comes home snocked, you know, every night for a couple of months and can't get it up, and he stops drinking, I mean, he's going to be fully recovered as soon as he's sober. So I
gotcha.
Think it's really a matter of degree.
Cool. Okay. Daphne, thanks for the call. We appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, we definitely do. In the book, you say older men worry because they seem to have lost their libidos. Middle-aged men are upset because they used to desire sex as often as they could get it, but now they want to make love only a few times a month. Even young men are occasionally concerned. My friends are horny all the time. Sex is all they think about. I'm not the same. Is there something wrong with me? What do we do about these concerns? Because, I mean, not that I've gotten all that older, but I do tell a difference between, you know, as I've gotten older. Is it all in my head that there's a difference?
Yeah, I mean, look, there should be concern if the individual that's happening to is concerned. I mean, you have to understand that sexual activity, your ability to get an erection, has to be age appropriate. I mean, you know, you don't run as fast or jump as high as you did when you were, you know, when you were 20 as you do, you know, when you're 50. I mean, so you have to look at yourself and see, is my behavior, is my reaction, is my mentality age appropriate? You know, as we age, the testosterone goes down a little bit, so testosterone is what drives the libido. I mean, you look down, instead of seeing, you know, no body fat at all, you look down, you see a little, you know, belly hanging over the Dunlap syndrome, your belly Dunlap over your belt, you know, and your penis looks a little bit shorter because it has to traverse a couple of inches of prepubic fat to come out from under the pubic bone. You know, so all of those things, you know, go together, and I think it's a process of aging.
Well, I don't like that.
No, I don't like it either. You know, and that's why you see a lot of the older guys down in the gym working just as hard as the younger guys, and those guys are going to be much, you know, more adept at sex and much more sexually oriented, you know, than the poor guy that's slobbering down a six beer and a popcorn and sitting on the bench, you know, watching television.
Okay, well, so I've got a, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, because Rob, I'm telling you, this is, I've heard this before. So this is like one of those old wives' tales that, you know, I think I even heard it in Weight Watchers one time. But they said for every 10 pounds that you lose as far as like, you know, belly fat or just fat as a guy, that you regain an inch. Is that true?
Absolutely. Now, so let me explain anatomically why that's true. You know, your penis doesn't change in size. The corpora, the sausage casing that fills with blood, which there are two of them, is genetically determined. And so if it's filled with blood, that is, and when you get a firm erection, it never changes in size once you reach maturity. But what happens is anatomically the penis comes out from under the pubic bone. The pubic bone is, if you reach down, you know, just above your penis, you've got that bone. So if you're a fat guy, what you have is what we call prepubic fat. There's a fat pad in front of the pubic bone. So the fatter you are, the bigger or the wider the prepubic fat pad is. So when you peer down and your penis has to come through 3, 4, 5 inches of prepubic fat, I mean, you think, oh, my God, I have no penis at all. When, in fact, if you could put your finger there and push the fat back, you would say, gee, the penis is normal size. So, you know, weight loss,
wow,
and having a really flat belly and no prepubic fat, I mean, your penis is going to, it's not going to be longer, but it's certainly going to look longer and behave as if it's longer.
I'll take that any day. I'm doing some more sit-ups right as we speak, right during the show. Okay.
You do prepubic liposuction.
There we go. Okay.
I'm going to plead the fifth here. Okay, so you were talking about running and all that. You know, if I wanted to, as I age, to keep going and keep my leg speed and all that, I work out my legs. How do men keep their penis going? Is there actually exercises?
Well, there aren't exercises per se. There are some exercises that retard ejaculation. But what equates to penis power, which I like to call penis power, a powerful penis, is good health. So exactly the same things that you do to have a healthy body and a healthy mind, work out at the gym, high protein, low-carb diet, cardiovascular fitness, blood pressure control, sugar control, weight control, certain foods that have flavonoids, berries, fresh fruits, salads, all of those things promote penis health. So whatever promotes general body health and well-being and cardiovascular fitness promotes penis power.
Great. That what you've just described is actually Garrett Miller's Food Shares on Facebook. So.
Yeah, so I should be hard
now
all the time.
Now we know what you're about.
Yeah. Okay, I do have another question for you. What about guys who are – and I, by the way, I'm not a big Western medical fan for a lot of reasons, but because it just seems like every time you go to your regular doctor, it's like, okay, you got 5 minutes. We're going to send you out of here with a script. Go fill it and don't call us again.
Yeah,
until you need another script.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, a lot of guys out there are on a lot of pills, whether they need them or not. That's not the topic of discussion. The topic is, you know, medications that, you know, restrict blood flow or cause you not to have erections. What are there natural ways that guys can either counteract that, or do we have to always say we need a Cialis or a Viagra if we want to go and have sex?
Well, look, it depends on the pills. So there are fellows out there that have hypertension and mm-hmm. Many of the pills that treat hypertension are vasoconstrictors, meaning they decrease blood flow to the penis. So if they decrease blood flow to the penis, it means a man may not get as good an erection on a blood pressure pill. So I think there are ways of modifying those pills. I mean, we certainly don't recommend, you know, you're not getting good erections on your blood pressure pills, that you stop them and end up with a stroke. I mean, that's, you know, hardly proper. So you talk about those things to your doctor. There are lots of alternatives. I mean, there are many men that are diabetic. Uncontrolled diabetes makes it very hard to get an erection. And there's nothing wrong with the Cialis's and the Viagra and the Levitras of the world. I mean, it's a wonderful drug, a wonderful class of drugs. It basically increases blood flow. It will increase blood flow in a dead man. They virtually have no side effects, and as long as you don't abuse them, they are just wonderful, wonderful drugs. And, you know, it's a billion-dollar industry. So if you have medical problems that are making it difficult, or if you're aging, the normal process of aging, and having difficulty getting an erection, I highly recommend, you know, that group of drugs that call PDE5 inhibitors. It's a long name, but the best of them is Cialis, in my view, but Viagra is fine, Levitra, Stendra, there's a million of them out there.
Wow. Cool.
But they're good drugs. They're really good drugs.
Okay. one of the misnomers you said was the idea that if you use your penis too much that it, you know, you'll wear it out or, you know, you can't use it. I've actually heard the opposite, that, you know, it's sort of like if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Is that true?
I think that's also a myth. I don't think it really matters. What happens if you don't use it, you will have a nocturnal emission, which you have it in your sleep. You probably remember having those as a kid. So what happens is if you don't, you know, either masturbate or have sexual activity with a partner, what happens is the seminal vesicles, which are these little storage bins that hold the seminal fluid, they become over-distended. And when they do, they just squirt the stuff out spontaneously. So you have a nocturnal emission. Nature has its way of regulating the mechanism. But I think it is a true myth, you know, don't use it and you'll lose it. But I can't understand, no matter how long I'm in this business, why wouldn't you use it? I mean, it's the most fun you can have, you know, without laughing, and it's most pleasurable. It's great cardiovascular workout. It's, you know, good upper body strength, leg strength, you know.
It's down to the core.
So if you're going to fall between one of those two myths, it's better to be the one that you need to be using it, otherwise you lose it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you should tell that to your partner. You know, I have guys in my practice, excuse me, can you write a note that I'd like to give to my partner, my wife, my lover, you know, that sex is really good for my health, because they don't believe me.
That's
always willing to oblige.
One of the questions you ask in the book is, why are we having this epidemic now? And what is the answer to that?
Well, I think it's the media. I think it's the internet. I think it's the cell phone. I think it's the availability of seeing this endless barrage of images of perfection and looking at the screen and saying, you know, gee, I'm not like this. I must be inadequate. And then self-doubt comes around. So, you know, I believe it's the internet age, this age of instant communication and Twitter and sexting and you know, living up to some kind of elusive model that really is unrealistic.
And with that, Dr. Danoff, I think we've come to the end of our time together. I think we want to keep you like the full hour, Robin. I want to just steal you for the whole hour, but we don't have that luxury tonight. Everybody.
Well, the good news is we are going to have part two of this, or we're going to maybe retread some of this on out in Santa Cruz in several weeks. So
yeah, that'll be good. You know, time goes fast when we're having fun.
Yeah, unfortunately. So everybody who's listening right now who would like more information, number one, I have two links on the show page here. There's one to take you to Dr. Danoff's medical practice. If you'd like to read up on him, it takes you right to his bio. And then also a link to The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health. That is a link to the Amazon page, so you can go buy that tonight. We always say, if you're on the show listening and you like it, go buy the $6.99 Kindle version. And we always say buy 10 copies. You buy one for you, and then you gift 9 others, because you have to know 9 other guys. And Dr. Danoff, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We'd love to have you back anytime. I know you'll be on Santa Cruz soon, too.
My pleasure, Rob. Garrett, my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
So much. Okay. Have a great night.
Nice. Yeah, you too.
Everybody, we're going to be right back after this. We're going to do a short commercial break with our friends at Rainbow Brew and a short plug for the album, and we'll be right back after this.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I've pressed the
button. Hey, everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for us. Gay wedding.
You
got it wrong. And testify.
What's your problem?
I'm Blonde Jesus.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
There we go. That was Dr. Dudley Danoff, the author of The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health. And if you want to get the copy of the book, make sure to click the link on the show, and it will take you right to his show page, his Amazon author page. And you can buy it with Kindle tonight. You can just click for $6.99 and have it downloaded directly to you. And if you'd like to find out more about his practice, there's a link to his medical practice. Just click the name of Dr. Dudley Danoff right here on the show page. So, Rob, that was kind of fun. I don't think I've said the P word more than once ever out loud in my adult life, because I always say something much less, you know, anatomically correct, like dick. Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I was having trouble at different points not you know how your mind just wants to say different things and everything right before you say it, you realize it's like a double entendre. You know, it's like, gee, what do we have coming up next? Ooh,
right. Yeah.
Oops, yeah.
You know, talk about a fantastically informed, qualified, spectacular guest to have on the show. I mean, we really probably could have done a 4-hour show on that. And I know I have more questions, but I mean, this is the first time I've ever talked to somebody of his capacity, and, you know, to ask something silly, like, you know, so if you lose 10 pounds, do you get an extra inch? I've heard that before. And it's like, well, how much weight can I lose? And boy, that's going to give me something that would be really impressive, but then I'll be a pile of dust at that point.
Well, it gets a little weird, because as soon as you, like, when you're talking to some guests, you know, we talk to them about, you know, like their art experience or whatever. And we're, you know, as we're talking, it's like, I feel free to go, oh yeah, I relate to that, 'cause when I'm writing, I do this, and, you know, my writing flow is like this, and blah, blah, blah. In this subject, it just gets a little, you know.
Well, 'cause we're not talking about, well, Rob, remember when I told you that I had this problem, or Garrett, you know, this has happened to me, 'cause we don't talk about these things. So, you know, but I think that is kind of odd, and I'm not trying to open up a dialogue with you, Rob, so that's not going to happen, number one. But number two, you know, if I had a problem with my hip, or my knee was sore, or I got an earache, or I had a cold, you know, I'd be going like, oh, Rob, you know, I've got, you know, my hip hurts. And did you exercise today? Did you stretch? No, stop your whining. You know, so we'd have a completely different dialogue. But, you know, it's funny, as a culture, you know, we sit here and we can talk about all that other stuff, but when it comes time to talk about that, unless, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody, or you're probably, you know, like drunk or high and talking about, you know, let's talk about things we shouldn't talk about, you know, those topics just don't come up in normal, you know, friend conversation. It's like, well, you know, boy, I was just having erectile dysfunction last night, Rob, what do you think about that? You know, I don't know. So anyway, so I'm glad Dr. Danoff.
I'm going to forget what the point was, because you have such a following of people who, you know, because you have these great images out there from, you know, Eyes Wide and Blonde Jesus and everything else. It's, you know, the debonair sexy guy on the beach. And I was like going, okay, should we put out on the Facebook page, you know, Garrett's taking pointers on, you know, his penis power.
I need
power
all the pointers and, you know, I can get. Let me tell you. It has been so long. And you can go, how long is it? It's been so long, Rob. You know, we could start making, you know, the last, you know, I don't know, the last time something happened, you know, it was like the Eisenhower administration, you know, those kind of jokes. So I'm always interested in, you know, when we have like Dr. Danoff on to talk about things that are going on. But one of the things that I found interesting, though, because, you know, he said, you know, you just have to like leave it at the door that you were stuck in the traffic on the freeway or you had a bad day at work. I'm like, that is really a whole lot easier said than done, because I'm one of those people that overthinks everything. So that, you know, then it just compounds everything else.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was talking to him about. You know, I was talking about sleep because it happens the same way. It's like when my head locks onto something, you know, it's like it's fine that I know that's the problem.
Right.
But it doesn't help.
Doesn't fix
the problem.
Because
my head's like, you know, the fact that I'm talking to you right now, this is the problem. And it's like, yeah, would you shut up? Well, no, we have to discuss it. It's like, no, you
right.
don't, because you're the problem. But, well, but we're, you know, it's like it gets into that vicious cycle.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and,
so.
And I've shared, you know, offline with you that, you know, I've had trouble sleeping over the years. And for a long time, I took Benadryl at night. And then, which, by the way, I did all kinds of research on, and I couldn't ever find anything bad about Benadryl. So don't, anybody out there, I'm not asking for your opinion. So, you know, save it. But a friend of mine who is, you know, like very holistic and, you know, naturopathic, she's like, oh my God, don't do the Benadryl, blah, 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 blah. So she recommended an all natural product called Calms Forte, and you can buy it on Amazon. You can get it at, you know, Sprouts or Whole Foods or, you know, places like that. You can get it anywhere. And then also magnesium water or magnesium powder that you put into like warm water. And so I get a raspberry lemon flavored magnesium powder and I drink that at night. And that lets, you know, that kind of calms my frenetic energy down. So I'm not like, because if I don't do something, and it used to be, I used to drink myself to sleep 7 days a week. That's true. And I've shared that with you before.
Right.
So then I went from drinking myself to sleep 7 days a week to taking Benadryl to helping knock me out. But it was still, you know, but now all of the crazy, all of the, you know, nonsense stuff is just completely gone. And I can go to bed when I go to bed and I just feel fantastic. I don't have a sleepy hangover like you get with a Benadryl, you know, because you still wake up a little groggy. At least I did. Now I just get a good night's rest and I feel great. And my body needed that extra magnesium anyway. And now, you know, everything's fantastic, but it's an all natural solution. But, you know, I'm like you, you know, if I would go to bed and just fixate on something, you know, I can say my prayers. I can thank God for a great day. I can do all those things. But at the end of it, I'm like, so, you know,
no,
adding sex to that doesn't, you know, that doesn't help the equation.
So shall we shift off the, I'm glad we took the analogy and just stayed with it and, you know,
right,
made
exactly.
it about sleep. That was a really cool transition. So, so we had a tough week this week, collectively, the world out there.
It's been, you know, and this is the first time I've talked to anybody about this because, you know, we see all of the posts on the news and, you know, it is horrible 1,000,000,000%. It's horrible infinity. And there's, you know, I don't know. I feel kind of at a loss because, you know, anything that I say, I felt would just be kind of like, well, you have to say something so you can get on the bandwagon, because if you don't say something, then you're a horrible person. But who in their right mind wants anybody to be harmed like this?
Right. No, but
then it happens to the LGBT community in Orlando, and it's horrible.
Yeah. No, I think it's coping mechanisms. I think we react and we do what we do. I think you and I do maybe a little bit of the opposite type thing, because that's, we're in pain and we go to whatever way to deal with that we have available. And I did notice, you know, you kind of pulled way, way back in, mm-hmm. and I probably pushed way, way out, probably further out than necessary.
Well, you approach things differently, and I admire you for what you do. And one of the reasons I love having you as a co-host on the show or host on the show is the fact that, you know, you really do speak your mind in a very eloquent way, and you do it, you know, very brazenly. And so I applaud you for that, because you do things in a way that I really admire, because I don't have the guts to do it that way. But you have an article that came out this over the weekend too, I think. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's morphed. It's come out in a couple of forms because the news kept shifting. But what happened was, on Sunday, I woke up to my phone buzzing I'm sorry, was it Saturday or Sunday? Now I'm not even remembering.
I think it's Saturday night going into Sunday. Or...
Yeah, no, that's right. It was, yeah. Anyway, my phone was buzzing, and it was my co-host from out in Santa Cruz, Steph Taylor, sending me a text. And her text was, at 11 a.m. this morning, we are having a vigil. I'm pulling together a vigil in downtown Santa Cruz for Orlando. That was the text. So, you know, I knew something happened or in Orlando, obviously. And that was my first hint of news. And so immediately I got online, saw exactly what had happened, and then hightailed it to the vigil that we had in downtown Santa Cruz. And Steph pulled together literally the community. We had the mayor there, bunch of dignitaries, people speaking. It was covered by the two local TV news stations. So it was timely and right, and probably one of the first vigils even publicly that was held. And so kudos to Steph for having done that. But then online, you know, the first politician that I came across who was commenting on it was Donald Trump. And first of all, his tweets were nothing about the LGBT community, nothing about the hate crime aspect of this. He did send out one saying, you know, our thoughts are our thoughts for the victims and their families, you know, sort of that, you know, Hallmark card kind of comment that you put out sort of uniformly, you know, in cases like this, you know, sorry for your loss, you know, that type of commentary, nothing terribly insightful or actually pertinent in this case, because there are so many things that come up around an attack of a safe haven like this, you know, gay establishment. So that was the first tweet. And then the second tweet, I almost dropped my phone because the second tweet was this, I don't need to be congratulated on the fact that I was right about Islam, blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically the gist of it. And it was like, so out there, bizarre, weird. I've just never seen anything like it of somebody in the public eye that people look to for some sort of inspiration saying, oh, well, I was right about that issue. It was just completely out there. So I wrote a piece to Donald Trump about his reaction and the fact that even in subsequent comments, he couldn't address, and he's not alone in this, but you know, he was the first one out there. He couldn't address the intricate hate crime aspect of this. He had to make it all about ISIS, and that was all it was. And, you know, that's what he addressed. Now, certainly ISIS and those issues are there. It is a complex thing, but in the core of this was a man who walked into a gay nightclub full of particularly people of color in the gay community who were in a safe space and mowed down and murdered 49 of them and injured and maimed 53 additional people. And these are young people starting their lives. They were young romances and 18-year-olds and vibrant, wonderful people, and many of which were not out to their families that this was going to be an outing that they were there. And all of this happened, and it happened because, or was inspired because, he saw two men kiss on the street in front of his child. And so there's this whole thing there that has nothing to do with anything more than a hate crime message to the LGBT community, telling us to get back in our closet. All of that was there. And in this case, Donald Trump did not address any of that, nor did a lot of the Republicans coming out and making comments. They wanted to ignore that entire part of the issue. And so that was primarily what my article was about.
So now that we've, you know, had a few days to start getting other information, what do you think about the latest report coming out of either I'm sure it's all over the major things, of the wife knew that he had regularly attended this nightclub and was also secretly gay, and that she knew this?
I don't know what she knew, because a lot of the stuff I've been reading is more about what she knew in terms of, you know, she was with him when he was buying ammunition, and, you know, she was potentially tweeting him while he was in the club and trying to talk him out of it, which is, you know, when you think about it, like, you know, Garrett, you know, you're one of my best friends. You know that if, you know, if I'm a confided in you, it's like, hey, Garrett, I'm going to go do this horrible thing, and I'm actually in the place, and you're tweeting me saying, hey, Rob, you think it's really a good idea that you, you know, cause this murder and mayhem? I mean, wouldn't you do something a little more, you know, action-oriented?
I don't know. I have to think, because I don't know any – I mean, obviously, I don't know any of these people that have done these, you know, horrible things. But I would think that, you know, if you called me up and said, by the way, you know, oh, I got the guns and I got the ammo, I like to think, Rob, that in as bad taste as that would be to say, that you were kidding. Because I can't imagine you doing anything horrible like that. So not knowing, you know, I mean, because we're not in those people's shoes. You know, we're never going to know. But, you know, you have to wonder, you know, did she go, well, you know, he was always saying things like this, or, you know, oh, he's just, you know, he's just being this or that. I'm not trying to justify anything. There is no justification for this at all.
Well, but, except she was, you know, with him when he bought it. So it's not even like, you know, he called her up and said, hey, honey, I bought some bullets. It's
gotcha.
Like, she was there. She saw the, hardware, you know, so, you know,
there's just too much.
I have
that,
to say, if we were doing that, if I was out there and we were hanging out and you were buying bullet and saying, this is what I'm going to do, I would go, Garrett, I love you, but, you know, the noise outside, these are friendly cops, and they're going to come help you not do what, you know, is not in your best interest to do, you know. But anyway, so that was that.
I don't know.
But going back to the other part of your question, I think that is very telling. I mean, see, a lot of aspects of this are not news to those of us who are gay, because somebody who is completely obsessed, has their own gay issues going on, their own self-hatred going on. Mm-hmm. We know that person's is a time bomb.
Yeah.
We've seen it over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, our worst enemies are people who, you know, under a certain set of therapy and, you know, some processing, could end up just like us, because when they accept themselves. So that part, not a big surprise in my mind.
Well, I think that we can say safely, as it doesn't make it right, but, you know, for people to have this, if they're LGBT, but I think people can still, you know, go through that, whether they're gay or straight or whatever, in other capacities too, but that doesn't make you break down and say, okay, I need to go out and buy an AK-47 and hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and I'm going to go mow some people down. But because we just saw this, you know, how long ago in the federal buildings, you know, with the guy that was, he was upset, you know, he was a doctor or something like that, and he went and mowed down some people. And we see it time and again. So it's not, you know, unfortunately, it impacts our community here. But I think that, you know, it's mental illness, or it's, you know, there has to be something that's, you know, you're off your rocker in some capacity. But there's, I think, a lot of other issues that are going on, you know, that unfortunately get these people over the edge.
That's part of the point. I think you're bringing up a really good point, because what's happened in a couple of these issues, you take people who have some emotional thing that they're dealing with that you know is a real big deal, and they are powder kegs ready to blow in some regard, and then they get influenced by this ISIS idealism that, you know, okay, they're about to blow, they feel this passion coming up, and all of a sudden they now have something to focus it on, that they're going to be a martyr for the ISIS state, and, you know, all that type of thing. And that kind of takes it's sort of the blend of the two that become super dangerous. Now, in Newton, Connecticut, we just had a kid that was completely deranged and psychotic. I mean, there was no ideological influence at all, except for the love of guns that he had. And one thing that I guess I'm coming to, because you raise a good thing about, you know, we're days later now. And so a lot of this stuff is, or each of us is processing and that type of thing. The thing that I am struggling with a lot of people who want to kind of whitewash and straightwash the event and just say, you know, oh, it could have been anybody. And we're just going to mourn that it was 49 Americans and all this sort of stuff. And I was thinking back on the different events that have happened, and I don't do that. I don't just mourn because it's, you know, I don't try to make these people generic human beings.
Nor should we.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I was devastated that Newton, Connecticut was children. I'm a dad. Yeah. Felt that. I felt the uniqueness of that. It was an added level of horror to that event that I will never experience with anything else. I was absolutely devastated by that. I was devastated by Paris because of the just the spirit of Paris that was attacked as part of those attacks. And so I think just from that standpoint alone, ignoring who these people are, you know, what they stood for, who, what their lives were about, is doing them an injustice.
Yeah. So how do, what do you suggest for folks that are out there listening tonight who are having a hard time with this?
I would encourage folks to express themselves, and social media may not be the right place because, you know, you put out your opinion and five counter ones come screaming back at you, and you have to have kind of some sturdy hide to do that, of which I think I've developed, you know, because I'll put out an article and, you know, go for it, people. You know, I'm not afraid of what you're going to come back with. But in safe spaces to express and talk about it. And I will do a plug for out in Santa Cruz on this, because we are going to deal with that. We're going to have some experts on who know even better than I do of what to do with those emotions. So that's Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, you know, www.outinsantacruz.com or www.ksco.com. You can hear it live through either of those. I think that's going to be a really important discussion. And people who are struggling, I hope they get something out of it. But I think we have to process. I think we all have to process this. I think we have to get into action. That is one of the things for me that I am so tired of nothing happening. And there are people on both sides and, you know, that, you know, want it done in different ways or not done it done in different ways. But we've got to get some sanity into this.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a middle ground. And the dogmatism on both sides has got to shift so that we can be safe in our society.
Can I also ask, I want to make a statement and then have you kind of respond to this. I saw what a meme is. That's when, you know, somebody posts a picture and they have some statement on it. So I saw this over the weekend, what day is today? Thursday? I saw it on Tuesday. And I read it and I went, well, this is like so true, because everybody is really quick to jump on the bandwagon of let's point a finger at somebody who looks different than us. And number one, I don't like that at all. Number two, it's really easy to say, oh, let's pick on the Muslims because... Now, the meme that I saw said, you know, there are over 1 billion Muslims in the world. If they all wanted us dead, don't you think we'd be dead by now? Or something like that.
Right,
and I went,
that
makes so much sense, because it makes, at least for me it did, because it's like I know so many people out there who are really, really great people and that are Christian, who are Muslim, who are Hindi, who, you know, don't believe at all. And they're really good people at heart. It has nothing to do with, you know, their faith. And, you know, the other meme that I see often is like, you know, if your religion is, you know, preaching hate or, you know, war, it's time for you to find a new religion.
Right.
And I kind of bought into both of those. That just kind of hit me at the core because, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, that person looks different because, you know, we've been pointed at ourselves in the past, but that person looks different. So, you know, therefore, you know, we should target them or exclude them or put up a wall or do something. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I just hate it when you say that because it makes you sound so dumb.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I agree with everything where you're coming from. In fact, I take it one step further because on the same day or the next day that the shooting happened in Orlando, a man in L.A. was stopped outside
right.
of
a white
LA
guy
Pride
from Middle America.
From Indiana with a truck or a carload of explosives. So the difference between him and the guy in Orlando was that he got caught. That was
right.
the difference. You know,
yeah.
the intent was there. He was intending to do it. So why, you know, if you're going to follow that logic, why are people not throwing up memes or throwing up things of,
right.
you know, we've got to build a wall around Indiana. You know, those
right.
people, look at what they
I agree.
People,
you know,
yeah.
it's
like, you know, so that isn't done. You know, it wasn't done around Timothy McVeigh who mm-hmm. you know, in, you know, Kansas City, you know, drove into the federal building.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, you know, it's like, oh, it's one of us. So, you know, oh, well,
it doesn't
whatever.
Really count because
right.
they didn't look
right.
different.
And to top that off, there have been two Christian Baptist preachers, one in Arizona and one up here
yep.
in Sacramento, that have
yep.
come out and went, yay, yeah, glad he did it. You know, 50 left pervert. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, okay, so if you're going to single out the Muslim religion because of their extremists,
yep.
what about the Christian extremists?
Right.
What are we doing about them? You know, do they get to stand out there and cheer and go unscathed while we attack all Muslims? You know, it's like it's
so wrong.
You're right.
You know, I don't know. Let's end on a happy note. We've got 2 minutes left until the end of the program. By the way, if you want
Should
to call in next
penises?
Week, talk about that.
Peppy
you know,
penises?
We'll have a happy penis next week. Next week, by the way, on Rated LGBT Radio, we've got two guests back to back. We've got Josh Ballinger. He is the star and creator of a new web series called Dumb Luck. And it's quite cute. I've seen the trailer. And then we're going to have the star writer and producer of the web series Old Dogs New Tricks. They're doing a mini movie that yours truly gets to be part of. I get to be the waiter in a key scene. but Leon's going to be on in the segment 2 of the show, and we're going to talk about the premiere of that, which is coming up on June 25th. So next week, Josh Ballinger of Dumb Luck and Leon Acord of Old Dogs New Tricks, that's going to be coming up next week. Rob, you know, one of the things that I like to do, and we talk about this off air, we got 2 minutes. Tell me 3 things you're grateful for today.
Well, right now I'm grateful for you because I love doing this show and I love you and I love, you know, connecting with you and, you know, so there you go. You have that. I'm focused on people and I'm grateful for my sons as they keep me grounded. And I'm grateful for, you know, you kind of put it out there is that, you know, I go out there and I can express myself safely and I feel the confidence to do that, where that came from. But I'm really grateful for being able to do that. Because I would not want a lot of the stuff that I've had to kind of purge through. I wouldn't want to sit with that. And I know a lot of people do. So those are my 3 things.
Very good. I love that.
How about you?
Today is a day of faith for me and for a lot of reasons, which I won't get into on the air. So I will tell you the 3 things that I'm going to say outside of, you know, you and the, you know, the show and that. I'm grateful that I have a place to sleep tonight. I'm grateful that I've got a great car that runs, that has new tires on, that, you know, gets me around town. And I'm grateful that I had food to eat today because a lot of people don't. That sounds really silly to a lot of folks, but I will tell you today, I am grateful for all 3 of those. With that, everybody, we are now out of time. I encourage you, if you like the show, follow the program. Tell everybody to listen in. You can get all of the last 300 episodes on Apple's iTunes as a podcast. And then we will see you live next Thursday on Rated G Radio. Make sure to tune in to Rob's show Saturday night out in SantaCruz.com and the Friday Night Dance Party live here tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.